This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina Muhammad, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم فلولا إذا بلغت الحلقوم وأنتم حينئذ تنظرون ونحن أقرب إليه منكم ولكن لا تبصرون فلولا إن كنتم غير مدينين ترجعونها إن كنتم صادقين فأما إن كان من المقربين فروح وريحان وجنة نعيم وأما إن كان من أصحاب اليمين فسلام لك من أصحاب اليمين وأما إن كان من المكذبين الضالين فنزل من حميم وتصلية جحيم إن هذا لهو حق يقين فسبح باسم ربك العظيم.
صدق الله العظيم.
Dear respective brothers and sisters who are listening, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give barakah in our lives. May Allah give us tawfiq. As Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, lucky is that man who has had a long life with good ibadah. Lucky is that man, to the nearest words of what he has said, who has had a good life, a long life, also worshipping and serving Allah. I did say last month when we did the talk here that we should be prepared for death any moment. In fact, that night we should be prepared. And I'm sure within 1 month, someone within this community must have passed away. Yes or no? Someone within this community has passed away, yes or no? More than one person must have passed away. For Malakul Maut, Angel of Death, has been given my order, your order. Your death is written. My death is written. Where I will die, which land I will die. Bi ayyi ardin tamut. Which land you will die in, which place you will die in, which second you will die in. La yastakhiruna anhu sa'atan wa la yastaqdimun. That moment comes, you can't move 1 minute back, 1 minute forward, you can't move at all. That is written for you right now, whoever you are sitting here, that is written for you. وَمَا تَدْرِي نَفْسٌ بِأَيِّ أَرْضٍ تَمُوتُ. And the worst thing about this is that no soul knows. No soul knows where exactly you're going to die. You could be going on a holiday, wanting to enjoy yourself, packing your bags up, looking forward to the luxury in the hotels and the sightseeing and so on. And that country you're going to is your country of death. Has this not happened to people across the world? The country they go to, they die. Yes or no, brothers? You could be on your wedding day. There's been deaths across the world on the wedding day. The groom has passed away or the bride has passed away. Or there's been accidents where the groom's father or the bride's father has passed away before the wedding and the wedding has been cancelled. Death has no barriers. It is no mercy. When it is coming, it is coming. Just today I visited a family in a hospital. They were family of some of my students. A very unfortunate case that the mother, the grandfather and the grandmother, both have been admitted into hospital the same time, more or less within the few days. Both have got pneumonia. One, the doctor has said, that she could go any moment. Just last week, they were rejoicing happily. Last week, they used to go and visit their grandparents. This week, they're struck with this news and in and out of hospital. In fact, if you want to remind yourself, the one good way, if I want to remind myself, is just to visit a couple of places. You know, whenever you go to a graveyard, do you actually walk? Who does this? Put your hands up. You actually walk and start looking at the dates on the stones, the death dates, the birth dates on the stones, and look across and see how long they lived for and when they were put in under the grave. Who does that? Put your hands up. That's good. Jazakallah khair. It's a very good reminder. And you just look and you see 20th of November, and that one 19th of November, and that one just a few days before that, and that one just a few days before that. And the next thing to think about is how many desires, unfulfilled desires, did these people go with into the grave? There is not a single person who goes into the grave and they fulfilled all the desires of this world. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says and he reminds us, أَلْهَاكُمُ التَّكَاثُرُ حَتَّى زُرْتُمُ الْمَقَابِرُ أَلْهَاكُمُ التَّكَاثُرُ. Your pleasures of this world are trying to get more than another person, trying to get more than another person. This keeps you absent-minded of the reality. What is the reality? Absent-minded, it puts you in a state of oblivion. You are not thinking. Of forgetfulness. What is that? حَتَّى زُرْتُمُ الْمَقَابِرُ. Until you come to the grave. You visit, i.e., you come into the grave. كَلَّا سَوْفَ تَعْلَمُونَ. Not now. Not now. You can do what you want right now. Allah has given us choice. Allahu Akbar. Allah has given us choice. You do what you want now. And Allah will continue having His mercy. It's not like you're going to sin today and tomorrow your breakfast will not be on your table. It's not like that. Allah doesn't work like that. Punishments may come because of your sinning, but it may come, may not come in this world. Up to Allah. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam once he sat with his companions and he was talking, according to hadith of Bukhari, he said, this sin and that sin and that sin about stealing, about fornication and so on. And he said, whosoever amongst you has been punished in this world for it, فَعُوْقِبَ فِي الدُّنْيَا, he has been punished in this world, then that is basically a relief for that person. If you find that you've got a problem in this world, and you find that it might be punishment for your sins, then in one way you should actually say, Allah, Allah, I really thank you. For the lightest punishment on the Day of Judgment, أَشَدُّ النَّاسِ عَذَابًا يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. The lightest punishment on the Day of Judgment for a person on the Day of Judgment will be a man who will be made to wear a pair of shoes made of fire, because of which his brain starts to melt and bubble. And he thinks, Yara annahu, he thinks himself that he's got the most severe punishment on that day, when he has only received the lightest punishment on that day. My brothers, my sisters, in this world, if one of us receives news of ill health, and it's because of the sins that we've done, if we receive news of some calamity, some death in the family, if you receive something that your business is not doing well, or something has happened, yes, we say istighfar. Yes, we make dua to Allah. Allah, relieve us from the situation. Yes, we do that. But at the same time, we may see that as a relief for ourselves from the next world. Because if that is going to take our punishment, our sins away, that is a blessing. In fact, Jabir radiallahu anhu, according to a hadith of Muslim or Bukhari, one of the two, he came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's last days. There's only about 3 days till the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam passing away, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was in such pain that Jabir radiallahu anhu is feeling sorry for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he's trying to comfort him. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, مَا مِن مُسْلِمٍ يُصِيبُهُ أَذَى. O Jabir, there is not a single Muslim that he is afflicted with some affliction. إِلَّا, except that Allah will shake off his body, his sins, the way a tree in autumn shakes itself off from its leaves. That not a single leaf is left on the tree, and not a single sin will be left on the Muslim's body if Allah puts it through some kind of pain in this world, especially near the time of death. You know, when we see sometimes people, and there's a different deaths, there are many different deaths. Some people go without any punishment, likeliness. In our eyes we can't see much. Some people go with some. It is up to Allah what He wants to do. Allah has nothing in front of Him that may stop Him from doing what He wants. Because if it was, somebody asked me the other day, and I was giving a hadith about somebody who would receive Jannah very easily. I said, the hadith in Bukhari, where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, رَأَيْتُ رَجُلًا يَتَقَلَّبُ فِي الْجَنَّةِ. I saw a man who is in Jannah, who's lying down. And because of the comfort he has, he is moving on his bedside from one side to the other side. Because of a branch that he cut that used to cause people harm when they used to walk past the pathway, they had to duck their heads down underneath the branchway. This man decided just to cut the branch or cut the tree so that people basically don't have to duck down or be hurt by this tree. And because of that, he gained Jannah. Because of that, Rasulullah said, I've seen him in Jannah, meaning that he will be in Jannah and he will be reclining in such a position that every time he turns around, he's basically got delight and bliss. And then this person asked me in the talk, and they said, how is it that some people will go with such simple deeds to Jannah and other people may not go? Isn't this something that is maybe seen by some? You know, it's a question. Maybe seen by some as not being fair. I said, what the ulama have written is that if Allah was to take us and deal with us according to His justice, according to His fairness, then every single one of us would go to hellfire. If Allah was to stick to His rule, whoever does a sin will have to burn for it. Whoever does a good deed will have to get a blessing for it in the next life. If that was the rule, then all of us would burn in hellfire, yes or no? But it's only Allah's mercy because of which we get let off. And many of us, inshallah, bidna, we have the hope in Allah that Allah will let us off, Allah will forgive us. But we have to work for it. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ala inna sil'ata Allahi ghaliya. Remember that, this is a hadith in Tirmidhi. Remember that Allah's price is an expensive price. His bargain is expensive. Ala inna sil'ata Allahi jannah. Remember that Allah's bargain is Jannah. You want to get Jannah, it can be expensive, but it may not be expensive for some. We should not count on the few people that get to Jannah without having to work for it hard. We need to work as hard as we can. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, according to one hadith of Bukhari and Muslim, he said, لَنْ يَنْجُوَ أَحَدُكُمْ بِعَمَلِهِ مِنَ النَّارِ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ. He said, none of you will save yourselves from the fire through your own actions. And they said, وَلَا أَنْتَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. They said, not even you, O Messenger of Allah. He said, وَلَا أَنَا إِلَّا أَنْ يَتَغَمَّدَنِيَ اللَّهُ بِرَحْمَةٍ مِّنْ فَضْلِهِ بِرَحْمَةٍ أَوْ مِّنْ فَضْلِهِ كَمَا قَالَ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa said, even me, I cannot save myself from my own actions. Though we need to do the actions. Please, don't get this wrong. We need to do the actions. But it's not the actions that save us. It is Allah's mercy. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa said, only if Allah has mercy on me even, and He shows His bounty upon me, then I will then be someone who will pass basically in the next life. So my brothers, we need to act. And how much action do we need to do? You look at the Salaf. Uthman radiallahu anhu used to come to the graveyard and he used to cry and cry and cry until his beard would become wet. And this is a man, subhanallah. This is a man whom Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said, Uthman fil Jannah. Uthman is going to be in Jannah. This is a man whom Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, La yadurru Uthman ma fa'ala ba'da hadha al-yawm. After Uthman gave in sadaqah, and he gave in sadaqah in Tabuk, and he gave in sadaqah before the charity of Tabuk, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Ma darra Uthman ma fa'ala ba'da hadha al-yawm. Whatever Uthman will do after this, it will not affect him. Basically, Allah has given him forgiveness. This is the Uthman radiallahu anhu, who bought the, who Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, who will buy this well in Medina? And it was Uthman who bought this well. And this is the Uthman radiallahu anhu, whom in return of that, he was promised that he will get Jannah. And this is from the mouth of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We have no promise, my brothers, sisters. Do we have a promise? We have no promise of Jannah. We are 1400 something years after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. These people heard from the beloved mouth of the Prophet, Uthman fil Jannah, Uthman is in Jannah. Yet when he comes to the graveyard, he's crying to the extent that his beard is wet. This is the same Uthman, Imam Nawawi has written, that on many nights, this same Uthman radiallahu anhu, he stands after Isha in prayer, and he says, Allahu Akbar. He's praying two rakats. And when he said, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, it is Fajr time. It is what, brothers? Fajr time. Why? Because these two rakats that he's prayed from Isha in the night till Fajr in the morning, in the first rakat, he has prayed 17 juz of the Quran in one rakah and 13 juz in the second rakah, subhanallah. This is the same man on many occasions he did this. Many. Imam Nawawi has recorded in Fi Adabi Hamalatil Quran. And he comes to the grave and he's crying, and somebody asked him, Oh Uthman, why do you cry? I've not seen you cry like this in other places. And Uthman radiallahu anhu says, that the grave is going to be the first stage of all the stages that we've got in the next life. And if this one goes well, then they all will go well. And if this one doesn't go well, then you've got problems in every other stage of your life in the next life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you basically, I was saying to you that He has no rule. His rule, he may do what he wants. And as beggars, as sinners, we will continue to call him. As the poet, Mawlana Lutfur Rahman, he has said, says, Punyo banele tore zodi deudu zokhete dite paro ikhtiyar kar ki batate gunagarer tore zodi kore dao par kono ki bolite pare ki shokti kar. He says, if a person comes to you, O Allah, and they are a person who is a righteous person, a person who has served you, a person who has done good, some many good deeds, he's a good servant of yours, if you want to send him to hellfire, if you want to send him to hellfire, you can send him to hellfire. No one can stop you. As in, there could be some sin because of which you can send him to hellfire. And if a sinner comes to you and you want to take him across, you can take him across. No one can question you. No one can ask you why. For you are in charge. And that's what we have, brothers and sisters, that we have our hope in Allah, but our fear as well, that He may do whatever with us. Salaf al-Salih, the pious predecessors, they really, really worked. They really worked for the next life. And as they said in several books, you will find that we've had many homes. And the first home was Alamul Arwah, where all the souls were. The next home was our mother's womb. Third home is this world here. The fourth home after this is a home. The home I'm calling it a home, is the qabr, is the grave. And the fifth one is going to be the Day of Judgment. And then after that, the sixth one is either going to be hellfire or heaven, or basically we look forward to having Jannah without having Jahannam. If you basically, if one basically thinks about it, your home, what do we do for our home? Before you buy your home, what do you do, brothers? You have to get some money. You have to get some money to buy your home. You get the money together, you bought the home. What do you have to do after that? You might have to refurbish it. You have to decorate it. You have to put your necessities out there. Then you have to decorate it. At this moment, each and every one of us is decorating their next house with our actions. My brothers, every time we do an action, we should think, this action I've done right now, could become either a pleasure for me in the graveyard, or it could become a snake for me in the graveyard. Right now, as I'm doing actions, right now, as you're doing actions, each one of us is sending things in the next life. In fact, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in one hadith, that when a person is in the grave, and a snake comes towards a person, then it is the salah, one's own prayer, that will come as an individual, or one's a'mal and actions will come as an individual and save the person from being bitten by the snake. La ilaha illallah, Muslims who are leaving their salah. Because, why? Because they don't have time. What's the excuse, brothers? What's the excuse?
No time.
They don't have time. What are the excuses they give? What are the excuses? Work, busy, business, what else?
Wife and kids.
College, wife, kids, basically busy. Shopping, busy. I said to a student of mine, who was seeking from some advice from me about prayer, I said, look, if a person comes to you and they give you in your hands, let's say somebody was to come and give you £240 in your hands and say to you, here's £240 free of charge, no interest. Free of charge, you have it. And they come to you tomorrow and they have £240, go and spend it. Free of charge. And they come the next day. And one day they say to you, after about a good few years, after 10 years they say to you, now I'll carry on giving you £240 a day, but I just want you to give me £10 back in return. And on that day, after 10 years, you say to the person, £10? Sorry, can't afford it. Sorry, can't afford it, can't give it to you. I haven't got enough. So the person comes to you again, next day gives you £240, says, give me £10 back. You say, sorry, I can't. I can't, please, let me off. So next day gives you £240 and you say, let's give it. Thanks. Next day he gives you £240, just puts it in the pocket, don't even look at him, ignore him. But he still gives you £240 every day. La ilaha illallah. Allah gives us every day, He gives us 24 hours of time. Free, live another 24 hours, He gives this to us. After 10 years of life, when we've just turned in puberty, Allah says, from now on, you will give me 1 hour back. Your Fajr, your Dhuhr, your Asr, your Maghrib, your Isha, if you put them together, how long will it take, brothers? With your wudu as well, how long will it take? About an hour. The whole day, about an hour, 15 minutes here, 10 minutes here, 5 minutes here, 15 minutes here, that's it. Allah says, give me 1 hour back. The man says, I'm too busy, God. Allah says, give to me one hour, family and kids, God. Allah says, I gave you family and God. I gave you, as a God, I gave you family, I gave you your children, I gave you all of this. I'm too busy. I gave you work, I'm too busy. You know how that sounds? Allah's muazzin calls for the prayer and the person has no time to call to answer the muazzin. Allah sends the time for prayer and the person's got no consideration, too busy. La ilaha, too busy. If he stuck you in a hospital bed tomorrow, you wouldn't be too busy. You wouldn't be too busy. And this is what I was going to ask, is that brothers and sisters seriously need to go and visit a couple of places. One is the graveyard. When you go to the graveyard, seriously stand there. Rasulullah's sunnah is to just go to the graveyard, just to give salam to the people who passed away. Give peace. And say, actually stand there and say, Antum salafuna, to address the people of the grave. And to say, Ya Ahl al-Qubur, O people of the grave, Antum salafuna, you have gone before us. Wa nahnu ala atharikum, and we are coming after you into your places. To actually say these words, they're not just Arabic words you say, they are things for the mind to think. And I'm not saying here, please, I'm not saying that you address the people of the grave. You know, if Allah wants them to hear it, He will make them hear it. It's up to Allah. But sometimes they do hear these things, sometimes they don't. It's up to Allah. It's up to Allah. And it's only we say this because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam showed us this way. We come to the graveyard, that's one place. And visit it with what? How long for? A quick 5 minutes, engine still on in the car, get back inside, job's done, mum and dad are going to be happy, let me quickly go and enjoy myself. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to sometimes spend up to half a night in the graveyard, especially towards the end of his life. If you look in the Sahih Hadith, you will find Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam spending up to half a night standing in the graveyard, and you could hear that there is a sound of crying coming from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as his tears are rolling down from his cheeks, from his eyes right down his cheeks. Why? Because my brother, this is where we're going to. This is where we're going to. Minha khalaqnakum. We created you from this. Wa fiha nu'idukum. And in there you shall return. Wa minha nukhrijukum taratan ukhra. And you will come back out of there. In fact, Prophet ﷺ was sitting with his companions once and he said, there will not be a single soul that is alive right now except in 100 years' time it will be dead. It will be gone. My brothers, there might not be much time left for us, that we will be gone. And Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has shown us one thing. And the other sunnah is what? The other sunnah to keep ourselves, remind ourselves, is to visit the sick. My brothers, go to hospitals. Go and visit people in hospitals. My sisters, do this. If you got relatives there, you will go, I know. If you haven't got relatives, you just got somebody who's distant to you. I mean, you tell me, all these hospitals, if you walk in there, will you not find people to see? And what do you need to do? Take a lesson from them. Some eye that does not see anymore. Some leg that does not walk anymore. Some person who is basically on his deathbed. In fact, when death is coming to a person, to sit near the person and to think about what they're going through. So what are they going through? And this is continuing from the last talk and going towards this talk, which is 6 foot under. When a person is in that moment of sakarat, and the person is feeling that their body is going, Allah says in the Holy Quran, فَلَوْلَا إِذَا بَلَغَتِ الْحُلْقُومِ وَأَنْتُمْ حِينَئِذٍ تَنْظُرُونَ. When a person's soul has reached upwards towards their collarbone, towards their throat, you are around, you are watching it. وَأَنْتُمْ حِينَ إِذٍ تَنْظُرُونَ وَنَحْنُ أَقْرَبُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْكُمْ وَلَكِنْ لَا تُبُصِرُونَ. I, as Allah, I am closer than you to that body, but you do not see. فَلَوْلَا إِن كُنْتُمْ غَيْرَ مَدِينِينَ. If it is true that you are not going to be accounted for the deeds that you have done, تَرْجِعُونَهَا إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. Try and keep this soul alive in the body if you are true. Allah challenges us. Person is dying, they're on their deathbed. Put your hands up, brothers, if you've seen a person dying in front of the eyes. Come on, put your hands up. You know what we should do? When we hear someone is dying, there's a few moments, few days, whatever left, doctors have said, is, you know, they've stopped whatever they're doing. It's a very good thing to go. It really wakes you up. Alhamdulillah, I've been privileged to be at a few people's their side when they're basically passing away, when they're passing away. And I'm going to ask you, last time I said something, how many of you have read this? Who read Sayyidul Istighfar after Maghrib just now? Allahumma anta rabbi la ilaha illa anta khalaqtani wa ana abduk. Didn't I say that last month? Did I say that last month or I did say that last month. Whoever reads this before, they read it after Fajr. If they pass away before Maghrib, they go to straight to Jannah. Whoever reads it after Maghrib, if they pass away before Fajr, then they go straight to Jannah. Put your hands up if you read it after this Maghrib right now. Put your hands up. It's alright to encourage others. Put your hands up. One brother. Two, three. Doesn't matter, I've read it as well, alhamdulillah, it's to encourage others. So what? We will encourage others. It's not real. Sometimes people may say these things and they might throw themselves in riyah, which is to show others. I'm not doing this to show others, I'm trying to encourage you. There's about four or five brothers in this whole hall of over maybe 200 or more people that have read this. If it is important, if you find it important, brothers, you will read it. And this is one of the things you do when a person is passing away, is to... I mean, they should be reading it beforehand as well. We should have it in our amal every day. But if a person passing away, go and make them read this. Sayyidul Istighfar takes you what? 10 to 15 seconds to read it. Allahumma anta rabbi la ilaha illa anta khalaqtani. You can say it with me. Khalaqtani wa ana abduk wa ana ala ahdika wa wa'adika mastata'tu. MashaAllah. That's good. You guys know it. A'udhu bika min sharri ma sana'tu. Abu'u laka bi ni'matika. عَلَيَّ وَأَبُوءُ بِذَنْبِي فَغْفِرْ لِي فَإِنَّهُ لَا يَغْفِرُ ذُنُوبَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ. You, many of you know it. And the Rasulullah said, according to Sahih al-Bukhari, you say it after Fajr. If you die that day before Maghrib, you're in Jannah. If you say it after Maghrib and you die before Fajr, you're in Jannah. Why should I allow a single moment, a single Fajr or Maghrib to pass away without saying this? My brothers, will you say this every time, every Fajr or Maghrib? Will you say this? Don't let it go. It's a ticket to Jannah. 15-second ticket to Jannah. Who wants to miss out on that? Who wants to miss out? Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that, I wish there would be 30 ayahs of the Qur'an in every heart of a believing person of my ummah. And my wish is that I wish 30 ayahs, just 30 ayahs. I know brothers and sisters are memorizing, you know, some surahs of the Quran, but when you know, what's really important is when you've memorized some, you know, Alam Tara Lilafi, some of the surahs, small surahs of the Juz Amma, then brothers, you know, instead of trying to finish Amma, I would say to you, from this hadith, instead of trying to finish Amma, please just memorize these 30 ayats. Why? Because Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has told us on numerous, according to numerous ahadith, that the one who reads this in their night time, before they sleep, when they get to the grave, Allah will save them from the punishment of the grave, subhanallah. And that is Suratul Mulk. Suratul Mulk, 30 ayahs approximately of the Quran, you recite. 67 surah, and if you please, if you want to know how to memorize this, if you think your memory is weak, easy ways. There's some easy ways to memorize. If somebody's memory is weak, the first thing that you do is stop sinning. Sinning of the eyes, sinning of the ears, that kills off the power of memory. If you stop sinning, you will see your power, memory power increase. One of the big things that people sin with these days without even knowing that they're sinning, without even thinking that they're sinning, is that TV box. The internet, looking at things that they shouldn't be looking at. And now the summer's here, you walk outside there, and you better be looking towards your feet. Otherwise your memory power is going to go... Serious. You start looking anywhere you want, your memory power is going to get affected. That's number one. Number two is what? When you're basically trying to memorize, you try to memorize in the early in the morning, as soon as you've woken up, when you're fresh, tahajjud time, fajr time, you try, your brains are much, much more fresh at that time. Number three, try and use, just to memorize this Surah Tabarak. Try and use a qari that you will listen to, that will recite to you in the same tune, the same voice, the same stops, the same highs and lows of the recitation. Just listen to it again and again and again and again. Even if it means that you listen to it 100, 200, 500, 1,000 times. Because by the time you've listened to that, I'm telling you that you will hear that surah in your head with the same tune, the same highs, the same lows, the same way he said it inside your head. If for brothers who have problem memorizing, just use this method. And there have not been many brothers that I know that can't even memorize through this. Obviously there are other methods that you look inside, you read, you repeat, and you can learn that. But Tabarak, Suratul Mulk, who knows Suratul Mulk? Put your hands up. Who knows it off by heart? You don't have to say off by heart, you can read it from the Quran, looking in the Quran. Some people have memorized it just by reciting it from the Quran every night. You recite it before you go to sleep. Or after Maghrib, anytime you recite it before you go to sleep, then you have not got any punishment of the grave. What a wonderful thing. How long does it take? Once you're good at reading it, it will take you no more than 3-4 minutes to read this surah. Perhaps 5 minutes maximum. Maximum 5 minutes to read this surah. 5 minutes a night, a person saves themselves from what? Punishment of the grave. 15 seconds after Fajr and Maghrib, a person earns their way to Jannah. If they happen to die and go away from this world. So this person is on his deathbed. What is he seeing? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has given us a hadith in Ahmad. It's a sahih hadith where Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has told us what exactly is happening to the person who is dying. What they see at that time. Right up until the person is actually being put into the grave itself. Bara ibn Azib radiyallahu anhuma, he reports, and this is a hadith that has been reported in Ahmad, in Abu Dawud, in Hakim, and it is a sahih hadith, it's an authentic hadith. Bara ibn Azib radiyallahu anhuma, he reports from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says that we went out with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a janazah of a person from the Ansar. And we came to a graveyard, and this graveyard had not been completely finished yet. So Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sat around this hole that had not been completely finished yet, and we sat around with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he said, we sat so still as if you could have birds sitting on our heads, but you will find no movement from ourselves. In the hand of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was a stick with which he was making marks in the ground, and he was looking down concerned, and then he lifted his head up, and then he said twice or three times, he said, ta'awwadhu billahi min adhabil qabr. He said, seek Allah's refuge from the punishment of the grave. Seek Allah's refuge. And this is one of the du'as of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min fitnatil qabr. Oh Allah, I seek refuge in you from the trials of the grave. Or in another du'a, min adhabil qabr, from the punishment of the grave. Because the punishment of the grave is true. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that, then he said, he continued saying, when they said, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنْ عَذَابِ الْقَبْرِ and so on, he then continued and said, when a believing servant is about to leave this world and go to the next world, angels come down from the skies to the believing. Now when he says believing, it means a practicing person. We're not talking about believers who don't practice their religion, who don't practice Islam, who only know Islam by the skin of their teeth. We're not talking about that. We're talking about people who are practicing. These are real believers. Otherwise, others fall in the next category, which the Prophet ﷺ is saying, he uses the word kafir, or he uses the word munafiq. Now, kafir, obviously, we know a person who doesn't believe in the message. And munafiq maybe a person who does not believe in Islam from his heart, but he believes with the tongue. But a munafiq may also be a person who believes from his heart, but his actions are not there. Very clear from the Salaf al-Salih, from the pious predecessors, including Imam Hassan al-Basri, who has clearly said, munafiqs are of two types. Basically, what I'm saying to you is, Muslims that don't practice their religion, they are Muslim, yes. They are believers, yes. But they're munafiq at the same time. They've got hypocrisy because their actions don't meet their beliefs. So you've got believers who believe and they act. Then you've got believers who believe but they don't act. And the ones who don't act, they are a type of hypocrite. Their actions are hypocritical. And then you've got the real munafiqs who actually don't believe from their heart. Those are the people who will never be forgiven. In the next life they will be in hellfire. But if a person is a believer and they've got actions that don't match their beliefs, that basically they keep on sinning. Now what we should do is tawbah. But if it gets really bad, as in their actions are very bad, but they've got la ilaha illallah in their heart, they're still a Muslim, but their actions are hypocritical, and some of the azab and punishment the Prophet has said about the grave, that may occur on these people if Allah hasn't forgiven them. So anyway, he says, when good believers basically will leave this world, angels with white faces, as if their faces are like the sun, they start to come down from the skies. And they have certain cloths on which the scent of Jannah, Hanut, the scent of Jannah is brought with each of these angels. In one riwayah, in a separate riwayah, it says, 500 angels dressed in white will come to take this soul away from this world. The Quran, the ayats that I read before I started the talk, it says, فَأَمَّا إِن كَانَ مِنَ الْمُقَرَّبِينَ. As for the people who are close to Allah, فَرَوْحٌ وَرَيْحَانٌ وَجَنَّةُ نَعِيمٌ. Allah gives them the good news of what? Of perfumes of Jannah. And He gives them the good news of a blissful Jannah and a place in the next life where they will be blessed. So they come from Jannah with these scents until they sit in front of Him as far as He can see. So in that other narration it says 500, in this narration it says that they are so much in number. Now how far can you normally see? You could see about a mile, about, you know, maybe 2 miles, 3 miles, depending on your eyesight. Prophet ﷺ said, as far as you can see only white angels, and they've all basically bought some fragrance from Jannah. This is the one we basically look forward to, my brothers. And then the angel of death comes, and he sits at his head, and he says, أَيَّتُهَا النَّفْسُ الطَّيِّبَةُ. O good soul, أُخْرُجِي إِلَى مَغْفِرَةٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَرِضْوَانِ. Come out to the forgiveness of God, come out to the pleasure of God, subhanAllah. And at that moment, you know, I quoted last time, Allah announces, Ya ayyatuha nafsul mutmainna, O content soul, return back to your Lord. You are pleased with me, I am pleased with you. Radiyatan mardiyya. You are pleased with me, I am pleased with you. So here Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, it comes out, fatakhruj. And he says, it's so gentle that if you basically were to pour some drink from a jug, and then you basically were to put that jug straight again at the mouth of the mouthpiece of the jug, the small little droplet that slowly moves down the jug, the side of the jug. Have you seen that? Yeah? Moves right to the bottom. So smooth. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, that's how smoothly they take the soul out of the body. Basically, it's very, very, very delicate. The way that drop is falling down the jug. That's how smoothly they will take this person out. And once they've done that, فَيَأْخُذُهَا, the angel of death will take it. And when it takes it, it will never leave, it will not allow the soul to be left, not even for the blinking of an eye, until the other angels start to greet it and take it. SubhanAllah, can you imagine the moment of this when a person is leaving for the next life and they're going through this experience? In fact, it says that these cloths that they brought from Jannah with scents, they will start to wrap the body up in these cloths and give it fragrance. And SubhanAllah, you know, one thing I remember of this at this moment is, you know, there's, you know, Imam Bukhari rahimahullah, when Imam Bukhari had passed away, and they had basically put Imam Bukhari rahimahullah in part of, you know, the old Russian Empire, you know, we know that he was from there, and he died in his near his birthplace. When they put him in his grave, and they basically put the soil on top, such a beautiful scent came from the graveyard that people had never smelt this before. Until people came and they started to take the soil away as you know, a miracle that God has given for this servant of God. And they started to take so much that the soil of his grave started to decrease. And then the people came and they basically filled it up with more soil. And the next day people came and took more of this because there was scent coming out of his grave. And they took it again and they put more until the ulama got together and they basically made dua to Allah, that, oh Allah, please remove this, otherwise we're going to be here for a long time, you know, filling this grave up. The mu'min, when the mu'min dies, you can see it on his face, the calmness in his face. The mu'min will have a sign in his face. The one who prays salah, SubhanAllah, you can actually look at faces and you can say, this person must be doing something good or praying, because they've got this nur in their face. People who don't pray, they don't have that nur in their face. People who have passed away, you can almost feel that the person has gone in peace, or the person has not gone in peace. It's one of the signs of the next life. So what happens then is they've wrapped this soul up, and when they've wrapped it up with the best of perfumes like musk and so on, and they start to move upwards with the soul. They do not go by any group of angels, except that the angels say, who is this good soul that has come up? So they say, it is so-and-so, the son of so-and-so, or basically the daughter of so-and-so, with the best of names that this person was called in the world, until they reach the extent of our universe. There is a doorway there that they start to ask for permission. That doorway becomes open. Once that becomes open, then they start to take it up above. And every level, every single sky or heaven it gets to, again the same thing. And they call it by the best of names. They say salam to the angels. They welcome it, and it carries on going until it goes to the seventh heaven. Until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to the soul, Uktubu kitaba abdi fi illiyin. And this is what we want, brothers. Allah will say, consider my servant of mine amongst the people of illiyin. Write him and make him from those people who will be in illiyin. And now return him back to the body that he has just come out from. So what happens here is, now this is important, and you know, I will have to continue the talk after the Isha prayer. What happens is, right now, if the soul leaves our body, and it does leave in the night times, When we're sleeping, Allah said, Allahu yatawaffal anfusa hina mawtaha wallati lam tamut fi manamiha. Sometimes we dream and our soul leaves our bodies. It always has a connection of a lively connection, keeps us alive. But when the soul has left the body, it's death. There's a cessation of this soul from the body. It goes to the seventh heaven as according to believer, and then it comes back down to the body, inside the body. Now you're back in the same body, you're looking at your family crying around you, but there is no beating of the heart, you have no connection with the body, but you can see everything, hear everything, notice everything, but you can't speak and you can't connect up with them. Now what happens to the soul after this, all the way till, as we've said, 6 foot down, and what happens inside there, and some hadith regarding that, inshallah, after the remain after the prayer, inshallah, we will continue. Jazakallahu khair. Wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillah. Okay, we're going to make a start, please, brothers, if you can fill in the gaps. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidina wa Nabiyina Muhammad. Wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. As I said last month, that one needs to visualize this as if this is happening to us as a reality. Reality will only kick in, my brothers, when we go through this again and again and again and again until it becomes a life. That is a reality. There is nothing that will be doubtful about this. I'm going to be there, you're going to be there, back in that body, looking at the family members crying, saying things about us, whether it's good or bad, and you can't do anything about it. Now when we're in that body, we come back, we're either going to say, according to one hadith in Sahih in Bukhari, we're either going to say to the family household, why are you crying? They can't hear us. They can't hear us. But we're saying, don't cry. Take me quickly. Hurry up. Take me to my home. And subhanAllah, the person who was invested for the next life, it is a home. And I say that the qabr may make you cry, but it may make you smile as well. Because if you've invested for the next life and you've invested every day, yes, we have fear like Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu. We have fear of the grave. But at the same time, we have hope that this will become one of the gardens of Jannah. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, one hadith he has said, either it's going to become one of the gardens of Jannah, or it will become one of the pits of hellfire. One of the two things it's going to become, there's nothing else in between. That is the grave that we're going to be put into. But we have to have hope that inshallah when I go there, there will be bliss. Because that is something else the Prophet ﷺ mentions for a believer. We are investing, brothers, every day when you send something, you're sending it to your home of the akhirah, which is the grave. And when we're in the grave, subhanallah, this ruh is a very ajeeb, is very strange. Because Allah will deal with certain individuals in different individuals in different ways. One of the things, you know, Imam Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah has a book on the ruh. I'm just on the soul. He's got a whole book on the soul and he's collecting this ahadith and he has done the jam'ah. He has basically put together all the ahadith so it makes sense. Because you kind of get confused. Because one hadith might say that you're in the grave, another one might say you're in Illiyin, another one may say you're somewhere else. So how do we make sense of this? So inshallah, bi'idhnillah, before we end this talk, I will give you the words of Imam Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah, who puts everything in a very good, you know, way that we can understand it in an easy manner, and it will make sense. So here you are, inside the body, but you can't basically say anything to them. And your family, you've got to visualize this, your family, you know, your parents maybe, your brothers and sisters maybe, your wife maybe, your husband maybe, whatever it is, your children maybe. They're looking at you and they're saying, dad, 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 don't leave us, dad, 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 oh, dad, dad. So whatever the case is. And you're there and you're looking at them and you're either going to be missing them or not missing them. If you miss them, if you're missing them, and you don't want to look forward to going to the grave, then you're not a good soul. Because the good souls, they look forward to the Akhirah. They want to go and be with the individuals of the Akhirah. Now subhanAllah, we have got Illiyin, the abode of the good souls, and Sijin, the abode of the evil souls. So the person is looking forward, if you're a good soul, you're looking forward to go to Illiyin, amongst the good souls, because these are not just your family. The family, these are bodies that are still living on the earth. You've got parents perhaps that passed away before you. You've got grandparents that passed away. You want to meet them. You want to meet your uncles and aunts. And Allah has said in Surah At-Tur, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَاتَّبَعَتْهُمْ ذُرِّيَّتُهُمْ بِإِيمَانٍ أَلْحَقْنَا بِهِمْ ذُرِّيَّتَهُمْ وَمَا أَلَتْنَاهُمْ مِنْ عَمَلِهِمْ مِنْ شَيْءٍ. Those who believe and their family members follow them in their good footsteps, in their belief. أَلْحَقْنَا بِهِمْ ذُرِّيَّتَهُمْ. I will reunite them in the next life. Some brothers get worried, they say, subhanAllah, you know, we'll probably never meet our parents or whatever again, or our, you know, grandparents or whatever, until we've basically gone to the Day of Judgment. No, that's not the case. The good believers, the good souls, will meet. Not now, not while you're still in the body yet, you know, I haven't gone through the whole process yet, but there's a moment coming. So if I basically put the ahadith together, because this particular hadith that we started in Ahmad and in Abu Dawood, it explains it and then it moves on to the actual grave itself. But just before that, when the body is basically being washed, you can feel it. That's why Prophet ﷺ has told us to use warm water when we're washing the body, because you can feel it. When they're basically talking around you, you can hear them. When they're taking you on, when they're praying your janazah, you can hear them. And subhanAllah, in one hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said to the nearest words of, if there's a good group of the good group of believers who come and they do the janazah prayer. In one narration it's 40, at least 40 individuals, in one narration it's more than that. If a large group of believers come, that may be a sign of the forgiveness of this individual. In fact, you know, when a person passes away, this is very important, people start talking. And when they start talking about the actions the person did. They might say good things, they might say bad things. If a lot of people genuinely from their heart are saying good things, it's a sign that the person, you know, because what happened, Rasulullah was actually standing at one janazah and he heard people saying good things. And he said, that's what will happen to the soul. That's what the soul is, he said. That's what the soul is. They were saying good things, he said, that's what the soul is. In another time, he was standing there, they were saying bad things about the person. He said, that's what the soul is. Why? Because Allah makes people talk. Allah makes people talk. At the time of your death, my death, when the janazah body is there, people will talk about who you really were, how they remembered you. And that is a reflection of how Allah may treat you in the next world. It's something to think about. When you go to a good person's janazah, there normally there's good things people say. Now you can't basically make this up. You can't just come to the body and start saying, yeah, he was a good person. Wasn't he, guys? Come on, guys. There's some janazahs, they do that. And there's some, I don't want to, you know, there's some janazahs, especially like you go to some Turkish janazahs and so on, the imam says, say everybody say he was good. They say he was good. Say he was good, he was good. You can't make this up. This is a serious matter. The natural thing that comes out of people's hearts, that's the reflection of how Allah may treat that person. And I say may because it's up to Allah how to treat them. No one can say how Allah will treat the person. Only Allah knows that. So now, you're basically being taken on the shoulders of people towards your grave. And Allahu Akbar, we need to visualize these brothers, honestly, until it becomes a true reality. And we want to look forward to it. Why not? When people will take me and you, and they will start lowering me down into the grave, visualize the walls of the grave becoming higher and higher and higher. And you're 6 foot down. And then think,
that those people above there, you can still hear them. In fact, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, 40 steps they take above the ground, and as they're walking, in a sahih hadith of Bukhari, you can hear their footsteps above the ground. And you're down there and they put the soil on top of you, and of course they're crying up there. But you're not concerned about that. You're either going to be concerned of what's going to happen to you right now in a good sense, or what's going to happen to you in a bad sense. And the believer will know it. Like Rasulullah ﷺ said, if you've already seen at the moment when your death comes, angels dressed in white, subhanAllah, you've made it. You've made it. You know, I had my wife's grandfather, when he was passing away, you can hear this again and again, when he was passing away, you know, he said a few days before his death, he said, who are these people in the house? And they said, there's no one here. He said, who are these people in the house? He kept on talking about them for about 3 days. And then on his death, on his day of his death, he put his hand out because he wasn't well and he was lying down. Obviously he's in Sakrat and he's going through the pangs of death and so on. So what he did, he put his hands out. And people around him, they tried to put their hands out. He moved them and he put his hands out in midair and he shook it. He shook a few hands in midair. And then he put his arms out and he basically goes like that and then he passes away. There are people you can actually witness, this is their case. I was lucky enough, alhamdulillah, I say this as tahdithun ni'mah. I say this as saying to you as a ni'mah, and maybe many of you sitting here, you've had this experience as well. When people pass away, you see them in dreams. And one thing I will say to you is that if anyone passes away and you want to see them in dream, say to Allah, oh Allah, please show me this person in my dream. And of course you will say, show me their state. And you will make a dua to try and say, show me good state. Alhamdulillah, I can say alhamdulillah, within a day I saw my father in my dream when he had passed away. Within a day I saw my mother and when she had passed away. And alhamdulillah, I've seen good dreams. Where my father was actually flying in the air with his friend that had passed away a few years before him, and his brother that had passed away 30 years before him, flying in the air as souls. And he said to me, you know, son, I'm receiving the Qur'an, such things that you're basically reading for and passing on towards myself and the other your brothers and sisters are doing. But my grandchildren, I'm not receiving it. So bring them together and tell them to try and read something for me. With my father-in-law, probably the best I've seen. Because when I saw him and he, I will say that he's a bi-idhnillah, the shaheed, because he died in a car accident. Sudden deaths become the shahada. If your Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in the sahih hadith that if your rooftop falls on you and you die, you are a shaheed. If you drown, you die, you're a shaheed. If you get bitten by a snake and you die, you're a shaheed. If a woman dies in giving birth to a child, then she's a shaheeda. And there are various ways that a person can become a shaheed. Why I say he's a shaheed? Because many times, not just myself, about 10 to 15 members of the family have seen him in dreams that he's alive after he died. And this is a sign of a shaheed. When I saw him, and you want to believe me, you can believe me. And these are, you know, you look in the books, you will find this, you will find many people in the past have said that they have seen people after they passed away. This is one of the things that you may see. When I saw him, I asked him, I said, what happened at the time of your death? And he said, I just saw angels. I said, I saw hundreds and hundreds. He said, I saw hundreds and hundreds of angels come towards me. He said, what did they do? He said, I'm happy. He said, Hassan, he said, I'm happy. I said, I'm good. I'm happy. And I said, what did Allah give you? He said, Allah gave me everything. He said, Allah gave me everything. And he said, Can you come back to this world? See, this is one of the things that Imam Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah will mention. He said, can you come back to this world? He said, I can come, but I get certain times that I can come. And within the time, I have to go back up. The soul basically can come and go back up. And this individual, subhanAllah, I envy my father-in-law. He's a very simple man. He wasn't an alim. He wasn't a hafiz. He wasn't a... you know, one of the people that you might consider, I might consider, you know, that guy, subhanAllah, he's got a status. He wasn't. He was just a normal man. He was a normal man, but with a clean heart. That's one good thing he had about him. He never used to keep any grudges. There's one of the things where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam once, he, in a, according to a hadith of Ahmad, he said, "Do you want to see a man of Jannah?" They said, "Yes." He said, "That man walking past is a man of Jannah." Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu made an excuse to stay with him for 3 days, just to see what this person does extra to himself. After 3 days and three nights, he said, Sayyidina Ali said to the individual, he said, "Oh individual, I have stayed for no other reason, but I wanted to see what action you have that I don't have. But I've seen that you are exactly like me. Everything you do, I do." So the man said, "I don't have much, and I'm a simple person, I don't have much." But then he said one thing, he said, "What I do is before I go to sleep, I see in my heart, is there any ill feelings I've got towards any believers? And what I do is I clean my heart and I forgive them before I go to sleep." And that's his action. Rasulullah said he's a man who will be in Jannah. And that's why I envy my father-in-law, that he was such a man. And he never used to keep anything in his heart. And alhamdulillah, I've seen him more than 20 times in my dreams. Every time in a good state. Every time, even giving me nasiha. Even giving me good advice. And my wife saw him once. What does Allah, you know, she even asked, she said, "My husband said that he's seen you and you said that you've got everything. What have you got?" He said, "Well, I get my head massage and my feet massage at the same time." These are, you want to believe in this? You believe in this, it's up to you. "Once I saw him with the most beautiful woman I've ever seen, ever. I couldn't even look at her face. I couldn't look at her face. It was literally, you know, the hadith describes that if she was to put her finger out into the universe, then the sun's light would become dim." He had just got married to the one of the women of Jannah. "And I saw him and I couldn't even look at her face. That's how powerful, how shining her face was." But anyway, these are just dreams. You want to believe in them, you believe in them. But many, you will pick up the books of people in the past and they have written these things. Now what happens is, when a person has been lowered into the grave, and they've basically just piled up the soil, before they take their 40th step, according to a hadith in Bukhari, the two angels will come to you in the grave. Before they've taken their 40th step, the angels are there in your grave. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has described them. "For they will be dark and black, and they will have blue eyes." He has said this according to a hadith in Tirmidhi. This is a hadith with a good chain, and it is one that is acceptable. So Rasulullah says that when a deceased is placed in the grave, "Atahu malakan," two angels will come. "Aswadan," they are dark in figure. "Azraqan," they are blue, mean that they have got blue eyes. "Yuqalu li ahadihim al munkar, walil akhar an nakir." One of them is known as Munkar, the other is known as Nakir. And they will say, they will ask the questions, and we know the questions of the grave. But you can, and subhanAllah, this exam is so simple, there's only three questions. And it's so simple that the three answers have been given as well. But it's not whether you memorize the three answers. You can memorize them and you can try and, you know, put a paper with you in the grave if you want. But you will only get this right if your actions are good. We all know these three questions. Who was your sustainer, your Lord? And the believer will say, "Allah, Rabbi," or "Allah, Allah, Allah was my Lord." The next question is, "What was your deen, your religion?" And he will say, "The Islam was my religion." And the next question, "What do you say regarding this person?" And they will show an image of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, however they show it. And he will see it, and the believer will straight away recognize the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then what happens to the believer? According to, if I put the ahadith and the riwayats together, first two doors from the feet side are opened. This the believer will see. If you dig the grave, you won't see this. These are the things of the akhirah. You don't have to see these things. But the believer will see this from his side, from his feet side of the grave, two doors will open. And they will show to him his abode in hellfire had he not been practicing. They will say that you, if you had not been practicing, if you did not do what you did, then this would have been your station in hellfire. And they will close that. And then they will open two doors from the head side. And they will basically show him his abode in Jannah. So he's in the qabr, he's in the grave, and he can see his abode in Jannah. He is not there yet, he can only see it from a distance. It's almost like you've got a TV in front of you, you can see something from far away. So they'll bring a close image and so on, but from there fragrances will come from Jannah into his grave. And his grave basically will start to become wide. Wide to the extent in Sahih Hadith, in Bukhari and so on has been said, to the extent of what he can see in his grave. Now, if you dig the grave, you won't find this. What does this mean then? This means that it happens to the soul. The soul sees all of this. The soul feels all of this. So he will see that it's really large. And in there, according to this hadith in Ahmad, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, فَيَأْتِي مِنْ رَوْحِهَا وَطِيبِهَا. The fragrances will come and so on. وَيَأْتِيهِ رَجُلٌ حَسَنُ الْوَجْهِ. A man will come into his grave and the man will be of a beautiful face. حَسَنُ الثِّيَابِ, of beautiful clothing. طَيِّبُ الرِّيحِ, he will be of beautiful fragrance. And then that person will say to him, this man he's never seen in his life, he will say, أَمْشِرْ بِالَّذِي يَسُرُّكَ هَذَا يَوْمُكَ الَّذِي كُنْتَ تُوعَدْ. May I give you, may you be happy with, or I'm giving you good news of this day which you have been promised. And then you or me will say, if we're a good believer, we'll say, مَنْ أَنْتَ. Because فَوَجْهُكَ الْوَجْ يَجِئُ بِالْخَيْرِ. Who are you? Your face will only bring good news. And the person will say, أَنَا عَمَلُكَ الصَّالِحِ. I am your good actions. Now when I said to decorate the grave, this is the man you want in your grave. Sahih Hadith. The amal will come. And you know what will come with? The beautiful face. Yes, in another hadith, it will have its strength. When we do good actions, you've got a bodyguard next to you in your grave. You know, people like bouncers, don't they? They want them to be in their little chauffeurs. Walk around, they've got two bodyguards. Wherever they go. This, your bodyguard in the next life will be your amal as-salih. My amal as-salih if we get it right. And then the person will say this, he'll make the dua in the grave. Rabbi aqim as-sa'a, Rabbi aqim as-sa'a, hatta arji' ila ahli wa man. Oh Allah, let the last hour come, let qiyamah come right now, so that I can be reunited with my family members. I can be reunited family members, and whatever belongings I have, I can be reunited with that, meaning the good actions that I've got. Things that I've done, I will see in the next life. Things that I now own in my new life, my mal of the new life, let me be with all of that. This is the person who has seen, who has been good in this world. And as for the one who has not been good, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, when a non-believer is leaving this world, is about to leave, there comes to him, and this is not only about the non-believer, it is also about the Muslim who's not practicing according to different narrations. Because the Muslim who's not practicing is basically, like I said earlier, he's got hypocrisy in his actions. So he will see angels that are of dark figure, they will have straight jackets, or they will have something that tight, small bags. Musuh means small bags that they will have with them. They will sit to the extent of what he can see. The angel of death will then come until he sits at his head side. And then it will say, أَيَّتُهَا النَّفْسُ الْخَبِيثَةِ. O wretched soul, come out to the wrath of Allah, to the anger of Allah, come out. And then they will start to beat this soul up. And they will move the soul from the body just as you have, the way you have, like I said perhaps last time, you have string that has been tied around a thorny bush and you're trying to move it out. You can't, say you tear the string away from the thorns. That's how they will tear the soul away from the body. Then they will not leave it, and they will put it into these tight bags that they brought, or these straight jackets that they brought. And it will have a very bad stench. The ruh, the soul, will have a stench that the worst stench you find on the surface of the earth. None of the angels will go past it except that they will say, what is this wretched soul that has come out? And they will be told, it's so-and-so, the son of so-and-so, with the worst of names that they will call it with, that it was called in the dunya, in the world. until they come to the first sky. And the first sky, basically that doorway that I said will not open. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam read the ayah in the Quran, لَا تُفَتَّحُ لَهُمْ أَبْوَابُ السَّمَاءِ. It will not be open. So from there, it will basically be sent back down. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, you know, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam read this, وَمَنْ يُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ فَكَأَنَّمَا خَرَّ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ. The one who associates partners with God, as if he has dropped down from the sky, and some hawk, some eagle basically starts to take as a snatch out of his meat, of his body, or the wind blows it and scatters it into some place. That's the example of this soul. Basically, it will come back down, and it will come, and Allah will say, oh wretched soul, go back to the body. Now this soul comes back, but it's different. If we haven't been practicing, brothers, we'll come back to the body, and now you see your family crying, and you say, please don't leave me. Please, please, what are you doing? Don't leave me. Don't do this. When the body has been washed, according to Sahih al-Bukhari, the person says, What are you doing to me? What are you doing to me? Where are you going to take me? Where are you going to take me? But no one can hear this. When the body is being taken to the grave, he'll say, No. La, la, la in Arabic. Until they put it into the grave. And it's in fear. Can you imagine the darkness of the grave? And the coldness. The lips are dry. Nothing can move. Darkness prevails. It's the darkest of the darkest you can ever see. You can't see nothing. And the two angels come and they give the three questions. And the one who is not a believing soul will say, Ladri. That's in the hadith. I don't know. To the second question. I don't know. To the third question. And then, and don't forget, this will be to a non-practicing Muslim as well. First, they will open the doors to the head side. And they will show the abode in Jannah. And they will say, had you practiced, had you been a believer, or had you practiced, you're going to believe this would have been your abode. But then they close it. And then they open two doors to the feet side. And that is the abode in hellfire. They show the abode in hellfire. At this moment, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, you know, for the believer, he has said that the qabr will become wide. The grave will become wide. As for the non-believer, or basically according to some narration, for the munafiq, or for the one who hasn't practiced his deen properly, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam took his hands like this. And he basically showed us with his fingers like this. And he said the grave will start closing on the person until his bones of his ribs will interlace one another like this. And he showed it like this with his hands. Can you imagine the grave crushing the person? Then you've got the snakes that a person will feel. Now what happens? If you dig the grave, you might not see any of this. What happens is this. Imam Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah has said this. That the soul now will travel. And it'll be in different souls have different stations. If it's a bad soul, then its soul will go to Sijjin, a place called Sijjin. A lowly place where all these souls are being punished. Or it will stay in the grave, it depends on Allah. But it will not leave this world. It may stay even on this earth. Sometimes the soul is not being punished, but it's not a good soul. Allah will not allow it to go above the universe. That explains to us the theory of all these ghosts and other things. Now sometimes they say a person passed away, then they saw the figure looking like him on the earth. It may explain that, Allahu A'lam. But Imam Al-Qayyim Al-Jawziyyah says, some souls don't leave this earth. But if you're a good soul, the soul basically gets a station above. What happens here is Allah will put the soul into Illiyin. If you want to read about this, read Surah Mutaffifin in the 83rd Surah of the Quran. Where the soul will go into, it depends, okay, how high it is. Either Allah will just put it in Illiyin. Now what happens in Illiyin? One hadith describes this. That when this all has happened in the grave, when all this has happened, then Allah allows the soul to be raised. And it goes to Illiyin. When it's coming to Illiyin, your family members, my family members, if we're good souls, they start to ask, who? Now people start to ask in Illiyin, another soul, who is it? and the name says, you're so-and-so, the son of so-and-so. Your father, your grandfather, your great-grandfather, whoever they are, your great-grandmother, whoever they are, they will basically come to the front of the doors of Aliyin. They will open their arms to receive you, La ilaha illallah. And you will come and they will grab hold of you, they will hug you. Only if we're good souls. And they will say, according to the hadith, come from our Prophet's mouth, they will say, how is so-and-so in the world? How is your son? How is my other daughter? How is your sister? How is so-and-so? I left them. What is the latest news that's going on in the world? And they will embrace you, grace you, and bring you into Aliyin. Now that's a high station. But Imam Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah said, within Aliyin there are stages. You can be in a very high stage in Aliyin. Or you can be in the middle, or you can be in low stage, depending on your state. And if you go to a very high stage in Aliyin, you've got a lot more room to move around. Allah may give you permission to go around the other heavens. Allah may give you permission to visit this world and go back. Especially the shaheed. In a sahih hadith of Muslim, the one who is a shaheed, Allah will put their soul into a green bird. And it's clear, Rasulullah ﷺ said, that green bird will roam around the heavens, will go over Jannah, look at Jannah, fly over Jannah, will go and sit at one of the lanterns next to the arsh and the throne of Allah. That's the width Allah has given to the shaheed. And then Allah will ask it and say, O soul, is there anything more that I can give you? And the soul will say, Ya Allah, there's one thing I want. What? Oh Allah, the way I died for you, I want to go back, become alive, make me come alive again, send me back. And let me die the way I died. And then take my soul away. Because you know what it is? You know that moment when you were dying, that shaheed was dying, and what he saw. You know that thrill inside, you know that the peace, the blessing, you know the happiness, the joy was so much. The first instance when they saw the angels coming, taking them. That is the most joyous time, and they want that back. So they say, oh Allah, take me back. Let me go through the same death and then take me back. Let me go through the same death and take me back. Let me go through the same death. According to one narration, the soul will say to Allah 10 times. Allah will say, I can give you anything, O soul, but I can't send you back to the earth. So this bird is basically roaming around over Jannah, in the heavens and so on. There's a station above this. Imam Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah says, and this is all from ahadith. He says that's the station of the Anbiya, station of the Prophets. For, and he gives the Dalil. The Dalil is very clear. When Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam went to Mi'raj, and he went to Masjid al-Aqsa, who did he see there? The Prophets. These were not the Prophets in the bodily form. They were Prophets in the form of their souls. When in Sahih Hadith of Muslim, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was passing over the grave of Musa alaihi salam, and he saw Musa alaihi salam praying in his grave. Same Sahih, another Sahih Hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, according to Muslim, he was on the sixth heaven. He saw Musa alaihi salam. Musa alaihi salam was the one who told him that go back and ask your Lord to take these 50 salahs down until he became 5 salahs. Yes or no? How did he see Musa alaihi salam in his grave? He saw Musa alayhi salam in Masjid al-Aqsa, and he saw Musa alayhi salam up in the sixth heaven in the same night. These are all Sahih narrations. How? This is the extent of the Anbiya. The Anbiya have got the greatest traveling that they can do. In fact, if they want to remain in the graves, they remain in the graves. If they want to go to some heaven, they can go to some heaven. If they want to go to the highest of abode, they can go to the highest of abode. This is the soul of the Anbiya. Now, according to the good actions, the soul has a connection with the body. The stronger, the better the good soul, the stronger the good soul, the more intact the body will remain. That is why Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, when the bodies of Anbiya, when the bodies of the Prophets are put in the graves do not deteriorate the bodies. Their bodies are absolutely intact. In fact, some shuhada, some people who are shaheed, so on, they have dug these graves, and they have dug it and they have found, you know, like the person died hundreds of years back, and they dug it and they looked inside and they saw the person as if he was buried today. Not a single hair has been removed from their body or deteriorated from their body, subhanAllah. And that is what? That is because of the good actions. But if it's a bad soul, then their body will deteriorate within the grave itself. The punishment that a person gets from sijjin, the ruh, the soul gets it, but the body also feels it. This is the aqidah of the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. This is our belief. That the body feels it as well as the ruh feels it, but mainly it's given to the ruh and the soul. The same way when you get a good blessing in the next life, the body will feel the good blessing in the next life as well as the soul. But mainly to the soul this will all be given. Now, in this hadith, when Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said this, the bad soul will have a person coming with the worst of faces in his grave, the most ugliest faces, and he will say, "Ana amaluka al-khabith." I am your bad actions. And the person will say, "Oh Allah, let not the day of judgment come upon me." In a further narration, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said, In a further narration, that the person will have up to 70 hands, or 70 basically arm lengths. The person will have that much he can see in his grave, and the grave will be lit. There's another thing. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam prayed and he said, "Allahumma anis wahshati fi qabri bil Qur'an al-azim." He said, "Oh Allah, through the Qur'an, remove the state in my grave that will scare me. You know this terror that you have in the grave. Oh Allah, remove that through the Quran." Which means what? If you are a person who recites the Quran, then the Quran will become a light for you in the grave. That is why a person will do their best to never miss the Quran, because brothers, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has prayed that the Quran becomes a companion in the grave. A companion in the afterlife. In fact, he has said, either the Qur'an will become an argument against you or an argument for you on the day of judgment. We'll cover, inshallah, in future talks. There are many ahadith, but there's one particular hadith that I want to cover with you. Where Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and this is a sahih hadith again, Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said this, and this has been narrated in... This is a sahih hadith that has been narrated in Bukhari, I believe. Let me just find the... in Bukhari this has been narrated. Where Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would sit with his companions, and after Fajr he would say, "Has any of you seen a dream? Has any of you seen a dream?" And they will sometimes tell him dreams and he will interpret the dreams. One morning he said to them, "Have any of you seen dreams?" And no one answered. And the Prophet ﷺ said, "I have seen a dream last night." And he talked about his dream. Now the Prophet's dreams are wahi. They are revelation. They are truthful things that will happen. Samurai ibn Jundub radiallahu anhu, he narrates from the Prophet ﷺ, that Prophet ﷺ, he used to do this. And then he said, "The night time that just had passed, I saw that two people came to me. And they say that this is Jibreel and Mikael that came to the Prophet ﷺ. And they said to the Prophet, 'Get up and come with us and travel with us.' So he traveled with them. When they traveled, he came across, and these are all the things he's coming across as things that happen in the grave. Okay, things that happen in the grave. So he came across a man who was lying down. There was another man who was standing up with a large rock in his hand. And this man that had a large rock in his hand, he used to lift this rock up. Now there's a man lying down here, okay? He would lift this up and then he would smash the head so hard that the rock would go flying. And then the man who's standing would go up to the rock and get that rock. By the time he's got that rock back again and he's at the head of this one lying down, the head, the whole head that has been smashed, bulged, this head will come back to its normal state. And then he grabs the rock again and he smashes this head so hard that the rock goes flying. You can imagine what happens to the actual head. And he said, "What is this?" to Jibreel and Mikael, and they said, "Carry on, carry on, moving on." So he moves on until he comes to a man who's lying down. Who's lying down, and basically he's got his neck slightly up, and there's another man at his face. This man at his face has got a sharp knife that's like a scythe, and he puts it to his mouth and he rips his side of his mouth all the way up to his ear. Then he puts it into his nose. He rips the skin all the way up to his ear. Then he puts it into the side of his eye. He rips it all to the end, and this person is screaming. And then the person who's doing this to him, and this guy can't move, he goes to the other side, and then he does the same thing to his mouth on this side, on the left side, to his nose, and then to his eyes. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Subhanallah, who are these two people?" And Jibreel and Mikael say, continue. He then comes to a pot, and this pot is full of naked men and naked women. And there's fire not underneath the pot, but there's fire within the pot itself. And the naked men and naked women are being tossed with, and there's screams that are so loud. Screams are so loud. In one hadith, Prophet ﷺ said, the screams of the one in the grave can be heard by everything except for the jinns and the human beings. So there's so loud. And he said in one hadith that if you were to hear these screams, you would run from the cities, become mad, go into the jungles, and you would pull your hair out if you heard the extent of their screams. So then he says that he sees this pot of naked men and women tossed into the air outside the pot and tossed back onto the fire again. And he says, "What is this?" They say, continue with us. And so he continues. Then he comes to a river. And he sees the river is a river of blood. And there's a man who's trying to swim out of this river. And every time he tries to swim out of the river, there's another man who is at the river bank. He has a rock in his hand and he smashes this person in the face. The person is gobsmacked, basically looks with his mouth wide open, and he smashes the rock right into his face so hard the person is plunged straight back into the middle of the river. And every time he tries to get out of the river of blood, the same thing is smashed into his face, and this continues. And Prophet ﷺ says, who are these two? And they say, continue with us. Then the Prophet ﷺ comes and he sees a man. And this man is looking like the worst of faces you would see, he says, as in a figure that will frighten you. And this person has fire and he just moves around the fire. He has fire that is burning and he moves around the fire. He said, "Who is this?" They said, continue. Until he says, "I come to a garden." And this garden is full of flowers. And it's got high sort of plants that are growing in it. And just at that place, I see a man that is so tall that I can't even see his face reaching into the sky. And around this man, there are many, many children. And I say, who are these and what is all this? And they say, continue. And then the Prophet ﷺ says, "I come to a garden, another garden. I've never seen anything beautiful as this." And they told me, "Now climb up into this garden." So I climbed up. And we all climbed in there, and I see this beautiful city. Every building here has been built either with a brick of gold or a brick of silver. And when we come to the door of the of this city, we take permission. It permission is given to us, and there are men who are of the I see men. Half of them are basically they have beautiful face, and the other half is an ugly face. The same man, he's got half, and many of these men, they've got half the face really beautiful and half the face really ugly. And he says, the worst of what you've seen, the ugliest you can see on this side. And he says, the most beautiful of what you've seen on this side. And I say, who are these people? They say, continue to go forward. And what happens is that there is a river in front of these men. And the angels say to them, go and fall into this river. And these men with these faces of beautiful and ugly faces, they fall into the river. And when they come back out of it, then basically that side that was ugly goes away, and now they become a complete beautiful individual. And he says, they now are the most handsome men that you've seen. And then it is said to me that this garden you're in, this is where your abode will be, O Prophet, in Jannah. So they ask me to go forward, and I go forward, this is your actual house. And then he says, Barakallahu feekum, O angels, may Allah bless you, let me enter my house in Jannah. Prophet was saying this in his dream. And they say, Ammal an falad, not now. Don't enter your house now. You wa anta dakhilu, you will enter it. Meaning that in the next life you will enter it. So then I said to them, what is all of this that I've seen throughout the night? And they explain, they say, we will now tell you. As for the man that you have seen, that his head is being smashed by that rock, and that rock goes flying. According to one riwayat, it says that he's a man who's been given knowledge of the Quran, but he is neglectful of his fard salah. Now, brothers, we all have knowledge of the Quran to some degree, some more than others, but neglecting fard salah, neglecting it, this is the punishment for a person in the grave. And later on in the hadith, it says that this will be, or the ulama have said, it will be their case until the day of judgment. The two angels said, as for the man whose mouth is basically being cut from one end to his ears, and from his nose and his eyes, they said, this man, he spreads lies, he lies. And his lies are so, they spread so much that they reach the corners of the earth. Now, la ilaha illallah, you know, sometimes you can spread these lies and they can reach a vibe. They don't have to reach another side of the world for you to have this punishment. But basically, we should not lie, A. And secondly, if you're lying and you're spreading lies, that other people start, because ill news spreads fast. That's the whole point of this. And other people start to pick on this ill news. This is the punishment for that. Then they said, as for the pot of fire that you've seen, these are the men in your ummah, the women in your ummah who will commit zina. They will have fornicated in their lives, they would have committed adultery. This is the punishment in the next life, basically in the grave. Naked men, naked women being tossed so high that they're screaming at the top of their voices. But this is the punishment in the next life. May Allah protect us from this. As for the man that you have seen in the river of blood, this is a man who consumes riba, usury. May Allah protect us from this sin, from the sin of usury. This is his sin in the next life. As for the one that you've seen, the man who has got a very, you know, scary face, and the one that you will be frightened of, and he's got a fire in front of him and he goes around it, this is the angel Malik, who is the guardian of Jahannam. As for the tall man that you've seen, that you can just about see his face in the sky, this is Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. And around him, the children that you have seen, these are the young children that have died before they've reached the age of puberty. Because what, in a separate hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and I'm giving you this news from the Prophet, that if you've got a sibling, or basically you've got a child that basically has passed away, in either in the womb, either it was a stillborn baby, or it died in a young age. My brothers, my sisters, I'm asking you, your eyes may shed tears. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Inna al-ayna tadma' wal-qalbu yahzan." He said, your eyes can shed tears, no problem. Your heart can grieve over this, no problem. But he said, وَلَا نَقُولُ بِمَا لَا يَرْضَ اللَّهُ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ. He said, but we don't use our tongue to say things against the will of Allah. As long as you haven't done this or you don't do this, that child will be there on the Day of Judgment waiting to hold your hand and take you to Jannah. And these are the children around the Ibrahim said. And then the Sahaba said, Messenger of Allah, wa awladul mushrikeen. What about our children when we were basically polytheists and they died when they were young? And Prophet ﷺ said, even the awladul mushrikeen, as in these children of yours, meaning that you have now become Muslim, your children who died in the times when you were mushrik, those children may still benefit you now. Then Rasulullah ﷺ said, as for the men that you saw with half beautiful faces and half ugly face, and they go into that river and they come out beautiful, he said, قَوْمٌ, they said, they're basically some people, خَلَطُوا عَمَلًا صَالِحًا وَآخَرَ سَيِّئًا. They are people, Muslims basically, who have done good deeds, but they've done also bad deeds. And they basically, Allah will forgive them, so their bad deeds will be removed from them. This is a hadith in Bukhari that Rasulullah ﷺ has told us about, and subhanAllah, what a hadith about the punishment of the grave. What I want to say, brothers and sisters, is when we've gone into the grave, there is no turning back. These moments that are ticking by right now, we are either making our grave a place of Jannah or we're making it a place of hellfire. And it's up to us what we do. And a beautiful hadith of the Prophet ﷺ is for a believer, and this I look forward to, and I hope you look forward to this, is that for a believer from the time of his death to the time he walks into Jannah, for a believing soul, it's a sahih hadith, an authentic hadith in Muslim, for a believing soul from the time that he passes away till the time he enters Jannah, is the duration of his 2 rakat Salatul Fajr Sunnah. How long does it take you to pray your Salatul Fajr Sunnah? 2 minutes, 3 minutes? You do with nice khushu, maximum 5 minutes, 2 rakats, yeah? Within 5, 4, or 3 minutes of your death, you know how fast it will be for a good believer. He dies, he says, quickly take my grave. 3 questions asked. Within moments, it is time, it is Qiyamah. He gets up, he finds himself next to the Anbiya, the Prophets, the Sahaba. He drinks Kawthar. His name is called out. He goes, he's told, you're free to go. He sees the Prophet with a flag, basically going to go to a Jannah. He joins that. And he goes, and within moments he flies over the bridge and he's at the doors of heaven within 2 to 3 minutes. Now who wants this death, brothers? Put your hands up. Jazakumullah khair. You want this death? We've got to work for it. How are we going to work for it? I'm just going to tell you a few actions that you need to do. Few actions, inshallah we work towards this death. The few actions is, please brothers and sisters who are listening, have for yourself, apart from the salat, which you have to do, apart from the faraid that Allah has told us and the sunnah and the nawafil we're going to do, what you do is have a portion of the Quran you recite every day without a miss. Have a portion of zikr you do every day without a miss. Have a portion of salawat and Prophet ﷺ that you send to him without a miss. Have a portion of the du'as of the Prophet ﷺ, du'as of the Quran you will say without a miss. All you need to do is try, if you can do more, then you do more. But I'm asking for the working people, for the people who are busy, without missing your salah. Now, don't have an excuse. Don't have an excuse from today. If you're not praying 5 times a day, I don't care what happens out there, you're going to lose your job. You know what? Go to your manager and tell him, or just pray. Just pray. Right? Just pray. Just do it. I'm telling you, just do it. Yeah? And you know how you do it? 5 minute break, come on, he's going to stop you from going for a you know, loop. He's going to stop you from having a short call. They're not going to stop you from going to the toilet, right? People take breaks for 5 minutes. You're a good Muslim, right? You don't go to the toilet as many times, do you? Because you don't drink, do you? So you're going less to the toilet, whatever, use your time, your 5 minute break, just to pray your salah. Or where do you pray? Pray in the corridor. Pray near the fire exit. If they say to you, you're blocking the fire, they say, if there's a fire, I'll be the first one out. Which is true. If it's an emergency, you can break the salah, you can go. You'll be the first one out. That's no excuse for them to say to you that you're not going to pray. Pray whatever you want. I've honestly, alhamdulillah, you know, when I was at university, I told the teacher, alhamdulillah, they're very good with you when you tell them. In fact, most Muslims have told me that their non-Muslim, you know, their bosses have been so encouraging, they've told them to pray. They've given them space in their offices to pray. If you can't pray anywhere else, come in my office and pray. I've heard stories like this. There's only a few places where they haven't given them permission to pray. It's very rare, very rare. In fact, you want to pray, Allah will show you a way to pray. So I told my university teacher, and she's been very good. She told me, look, I told her, look, I'm going to go outside. I'm going to pray in the car. I'll be back in 5 minutes. She's fine. I said, Ramadan time, I'm going to be doing iftar in the class at the back. And she even announced to everyone, you know, please don't mind, he's going to be breaking his fast at the back there. They made awareness amongst the other you know, Hassan might leave the class, but he's only going to pray and come back. These are non-Muslims. Non-Muslims. Right? Alhamdulillah, I'm sure many of you have done this. The airport, the, you know, any railway station, wherever you have to pray, you pray. And you know what? Once you do it, it will hurt you not to pray. You feel there's something wrong with you when you don't pray. So I'm telling you, if your boss or if your workplace says to you, you can't pray, you tell them that either you're going to pray or you're going to basically have to because you're sorry. You're a good worker, but you're sorry, you're going to have to leave. And leave! What does it mean to you? A bit of money that comes in your hands. Allah will give you a better job, I'm telling you. There's many Muslims who have done this, and they found a better job in another firm. When you look at Allah, when you cry to Allah, Allah will find you a way through. You got your family members, what? Your family members are not going to allow you to pray. La ilaha illallah. You know, every family member is going to go in the grave separately. Separately. I say this to people. I say that when you're in your grave, your parents are not going to be with you. Your children, your cousins, no one's going to be with you. You're on your own. Your children are on their own. You're on your own. Your dad doesn't pray. She says, I'm not going to pray because my dad and mom don't pray. What are you talking about? Your dad has his account separate. You've got your account separate. It's all separate. On an individual basis. No excuse in the grave. Oh, just so-and-so didn't pray, didn't find the right environment. None of that excuse. So you do all of this, and basically then you add on your amal and try and increase. Please, brothers who are working, brothers who've got a very busy schedule, do this every morning, half an hour before you leave the door. Pray your Fajr in time, do half an hour before you leave the door, bit of Quran, bit of Zikr, invest for your next life, and you feel very good inside. Before you go to sleep, I'm going to have every person praying Surah Mulk, yes? Inshallah, because that will secure you from the punishment of the grave. I'm telling you, Alhamdulillah, I'm only saying this to encourage you. Alhamdulillah, I've been doing it since the time I heard it. It's probably been about 22 years now, Alhamdulillah. And the brothers like this that you may find, they've been doing it throughout their lives. Alhamdulillah, as a ni'mah, as a blessing, I'm telling you, and I'm encouraging you to do it. Because it's a reality, once we get down there, you're not going to see anything different from what the Prophet ﷺ said. And it's, you know, it's so... Did I tell you to do this last month that you should basically close all the lights, sit in a dark place? Did I tell you to do that last time? Yes or no? Yes, I did. Yeah. I remember the grave, yes. Who did that? Put your hands up. One person. Come on, guys, put your hands up. Let me see your hands. Come on, tell me about it. Let me see your hands. Make me happy. Guys, I'm not sitting here in your masjid coming every month because I'm going to tell you fairy tales. Or Jack and Ori's. Make you feel good. Oh, that talk was good. Boost it. It's not going to just boost it for a little while. You know, I'll be honest with you. One imam said, and he said a beautiful thing. He said, you know, Jummah khutbas, or lectures like this, or khutbas like this, he said, they're like a metal. You know when you've got a metal bar, and you've got fire underneath it, an iron bar or something, and you heat it, and it becomes basically glowing red. And soft, ready to bend. Only thing that happens is, if people don't take action, then the fire goes cold, khutbas over, lectures over. What happens to the metal? You haven't bent it. What happens? It goes cool and it stays straight. He said, if you want to shape it up, straight after the lecture, you start bending it. That's all it needs, people to do action. Bend it. I'm shape it up. I'm asking you, brothers, I asked you last month, when I come next month, because these are going to continue. Now, if you haven't done it next month, just don't disappear, right? Please do still come. I won't be upset, don't worry. I'll still give you another, you know, another 2 hours of my time or whatever it is. I'll still give that to you because I love you for the sake of Allah. But I'm asking you, please do this. Sit in the darkness. Sit in the darkness where you can't see anything. And you imagine you're in your grave. I'm telling you, tears will flow from your eyes. Sit in your grave when you go home. Sit in your room when there's no disturbance. Sit in the depth of the night when no one's disturbing you. Close all the curtains, switch off all lights. Sit in the darkest part you can. And imagine this is your grave, and imagine the snakes are falling inside your grave because of the sins that you've committed. I'm telling you, no more than 15 minutes, if you think about this properly, you'll have tears coming down your eyes. Sit again, lie down on the ground and imagine death is coming to you. Is it 500 white angels, 500 black angels? What is coming to you? That's the question. What am I seeing because of the actions I've done? Imagine you're on the Day of Judgment, something we'll cover in the next one. Imagine you're on the Day of Judgment, it's time for you to stand in front of Allah and then call out in the darkness. Just call out in the darkness. Call out his names and ask him to help you. Ya Allah. You're in the darkness of your grave. You're lonely. There's no one. La ilaha illallah. There's no one except the four walls of your grave. Ya Allah. Ya Allah. Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim, Ya Noor. Or just Ya Allah, if you don't know the 99 names of Allah, just Allah, Ya Allah. Or you can change this, change it. Ya Allah, Ya Allah, Ya Allah, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, Ya Allah. If you know the du'as of what Prophet ﷺ said, you say at that moment, you sit down. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min fitnatil qabr. Oh Allah, I seek refuge in you from the punishment and from the trials of the grave. If you don't know in Arabic, say it in English. Oh Allah, save me from the punishment of the grave. Oh Allah, be with me when I'm in the grave. Oh Allah, be with me, be good to me. Look at me with the eyes of mercy. Oh Allah, when I'm alone, say these words. Some ulama have you know, put these words together. Oh Allah, when my lips are dry. Oh Allah, when my hands are not moving. Oh Allah, when it's cold down there in the grave. Oh Allah, when the people are still walking and 40 steps hasn't been taken. Oh Allah, before the angels come. Oh Allah, look at me with the eyes of mercy. Oh Allah, be my guardian. Be my protector. Anta waliyi fi dunya wal akhirah. Tawaffani muslima wa alhiqni bis salihin. Oh Allah, you are my guardian in this world and the next world. Oh Allah, make me be transferred in the next life as one who is submitted to you and one who will be put together with the salihin, the righteous people. In fact, in the Quran in Surah Ibrahim, when Allah has said, يُثَبِّتُ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِالْقَوْلِ الثَّابِتِ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ. The ulama have said, just you saying La ilaha illallah to Allah in this world, Allah will make you firm in the grave. Say, La ilaha illallah, La ilaha illallah, La ilaha illallah, La ilaha illallah. Can you see anyone else in your grave except for Allah? Can you see anyone? Ask yourself this question. Does it matter my money, my degree, my university, my life, my kids, my home, my family? What matters to me right now? Nothing. Nothing matters. Only Allah matters, only Allah. Sit in that darkness and start saying La ilallah. La ilaha illallah, La ilaha illallah. Or say the words of Yunus alayhi salam, the darkness of the belly of the whale. La ilaha illa anta subhanak inni kuntu minal zalimeen. La ilaha illa anta subhanak Inni kuntu minal zalimin. No one else except for you, Allah. No one that is worthy of anything except for you, Allah. You are free of blame. I'm the one who's oppressed. I'm the oppressor. I'm the one who's done wrong. That was the call of Yunus. Now read that so that Allah can save you in the grave. Anyway, Jazakumullah khair. I will make a dua now. Just before I make the dua, and just before you leave as well, are there any final questions that anyone wants to ask? Anything that might have been confusing in the talk? Just related to the talk. Anything anyone never understood or wants? Yep. The book that I'm reading from is Ahwalul Qiyamah. It's basically the tremors of the next life or the fears or things that are troublesome of the next life. But it's in Arabic. Abdul Malik Ali Al-Khalib is in Arabic. But however, you can find, I will tell you a good book to get that has all these and many more ahadith. You can buy it from Azhar Academy, which is down the road from you lot. What happens to the soul after death? By Maulana Ashiq Ilahi Buland Shahri. Ashiq Ilahi is his name. This book is wonderful. It only has Quranic ayats and sahih or good chain ahadith. It only has those, mostly throughout the whole of the book. And it's only a book not too much for you to read. And it starts from death with what I've said and much more than what I've said. It's put it in a systematic order. And if you read this book, inshallah, it will shake you up. When I read it, you know, it impacted my life. It changed the way I thought about the whole of the afterlife. What happens to the soul after death by Mullah Ashiq Ilahi Buland Shahri.
What's the name of the istighfar that you saw after Fajr
al-Maghrib? Alright, the name of the istighfar is Sayyidul Istighfar. You will find it in Hisnul Muslim. You know the small book Hisnul Muslim, I think page, I think 113 or something, you'll find it on there. I just showed it to somebody today. It's in there. Please recite this after every Maghrib, after every Fajr. What? Any other questions? Any other questions? Yes? He was asking about the thing I said in the talk about the istighfar. Allahumma anta rabbi la ilaha illa anta khalaqtani. That dua I said in the talk. To say it after Fajr, you will be in Jannah before Maghrib if you pass away. If you say it after Maghrib, you will be in Jannah if you say it before Fajr comes. Okay, so he's asking about that dua. You can find it on the internet. Just go to Mufti Google. A lot of people see that as a way of learning their deen, la ilaha illallah. But it's good to just find things. It's not good to learn things. It's good to just find things. It's a quick way of finding things. But you put inside there, Sayyidul Istighfar. Sayyidul Istighfar. Yeah? And it will come up in Arabic. If you put Arabic PDF or whatever, it will come up and you can find it in there. Okay? If you don't find it, go to Allama Yahoo. You might find it over there. Yeah? Okay, any other questions?
What's the point in the body receiving pain, but if the soul gives a life to the body?
If the soul gives?
Life to the body, but what's the point in the
physical body? Alright, why would the body's physical body? The thing is, if the soul is receiving punishment, why should the body still receive the punishment? All I am quoting to you is what the ulama have said, and they've done the joining of different ahadith from the Prophet ﷺ. I don't know what the point is, why exactly, but this is how Allah will do it. That's all I can say, that the soul will receive it, and the body will also feel it as well. Yes?
What do you do if you see a relative like having a bad dream?
Okay, if your relative has passed away and you see them in a bad dream, you see them basically in a bad state because you've had a dream about them, then best thing to do is you can benefit the dead with action that we do, and we send it only through Allah. Now there's ikhtilaf in this, there's difference of opinion in this. Some of you might agree with it, some of you might not agree with it. If you don't agree with it, no problem, don't agree with it. You don't have to argue about these things. This is a hadith in Sahih Muslim where Rasulullah ﷺ said, when a person passes away, only three things continue. Everything else is seized. Number one is sadaqah jariyah. If you've left behind you some continuous charity, like you've built a well, you've basically left some building of masjid, whatever it is, madrasa, whatever it is, it's a continuous charity, so you will get benefit from it even though you're in the grave. Number two is any knowledge that you've left behind you that people are benefiting. So if you teach someone something, if you left a library, left books and so on that you donated, people will benefit from it, you will benefit in the grave by it. And number three is, and this is one thing I will say to you, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this is one we all can basically do if, you know, as a big investment, which is Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, a walad salihin yad'ula, if you left a righteous or a pious child behind who prays for you, that benefit. So if it's your parents that you've seen them in a bad state, if you pray for them, your dua will definitely benefit them. Your dua will definitely, especially if you're righteous, it will definitely benefit. If it's not your parents, you can give, you can make dua for them, definitely. You can give certain forms of sadaqah and say to Allah, oh Allah, take the reward of this, give it to the deceased. You can basically read things, Quran or other things, and say to Allah, oh Allah, the reward of this, can you take it and give it to the deceased? Again, as I said, there's ikhtilaf in this, but I'm one who believes in this because of the adilla in the Quran Sunnah. But if you don't believe in it, please let's not make this an issue to argue about. You don't believe it in, you know, don't believe in it. It's up to you. Okay? Jazakumullah khair. Now we're going to make a dua, please. And thank you very much for staying this long. You sacrificed time as well, but it's been, hopefully I've benefited myself and I've benefited you as well. Please. Let's make a dua for all of us and especially for our afterlife as well. Sallallahu ala sayyidina wa maulana Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina wa maulana Muhammad salatan tunajjina biha min jami' al-ahwal wal-afat wa taqdhina biha jami' al-hajat وتطهرنا بها من جميع السيئات وترفعنا بها أعلى الدرجات وتبلغنا بها أقصى الغايات ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين ربنا اغفر لنا ولإخواننا الذين سبقونا بالإيمان ولا تجعل في قلوبنا غلا للذين آمنوا وربنا إنك رؤوف رحيم أو الله أو مولا أو ماستر أو close one أو one who has created us أو one who has fed us for every day of our lives أو one who has given the ability for us to see أو one who gave us the ability to hear O one who gave the ability to move our bodies, Mawla, we raise our hands to you, the very hands that have sinned. Mawla, we come to you with our eyes that have sinned, with our ears that have sinned, with our bodies that have sinned. Mawla, you kept on giving us as we kept on sinning. Mawla, we are ashamed of the deeds that we have done. We are people who have done some good deeds, but many bad deeds. Mawla, we ask you. Do not look at our bad deeds, Mawla, look at our good deeds. And oh Allah, if we have nothing, Mawla, that we have done for your sake, and if nothing is worthy in your eyes, then Mawla, out of your sheer mercy, Mawla, out of your sheer mercy, out of your bounty, Mawla, forgive us. Oh Allah, forgive us our sins, for our sins are more than we can count. Mawla, forgive us before we leave this earth. Oh Allah, we make tawbah to you, we make tawbah to you, Mawla. Oh Allah, we make a sincere tawbah to you. Oh Allah, we repent to you, tomorrow we could be dead. Oh Allah, tomorrow death could come to us, and oh Allah, when death comes to us, Mawla, we ask you, Mawla, to send 500 angels from heaven. Oh Allah, send them from Jannah with musk and with the fragrances of paradise. Mawla, let us be pleased with you and let you be pleased with us. Oh Allah, when you put us in the grave and no one is there, Mawla. Oh Allah, you be there for us, Mawla. Be there for us, Mawla. Oh Allah, your name is Qareeb, you are the close one, be our close one. Your name is Mujib, you are the one who answers du'as. Oh Allah, answer our du'a. Oh Allah, your name is Wadud, you love without a reason to love. Oh Allah, you have loved us, you have brought us in your beloved house, Mawla. Oh Allah, if you didn't love us, Mawla, you wouldn't have brought us in your house. Oh Allah, you have given us the tawfiq to stay here, to remember you, to do sujood to you. Mawla, Mawla, will you punish the head that has gone down in sujood for your sake? Oh Allah, will you punish the eyes that have shed tears for you, Mawla? Oh Allah, will you punish the tongue that has done your dhikr, Mawla? Will you punish the tongue that has read your kalam and your Quran? Will you punish the hands that have done wudu for your sake, Mawla? Will you punish the feet that have been washed in wudu, that have stood in the night time for your prayers? Oh Allah, will you punish us, Mawla? For you are the most merciful. You have no reason, Mawla. You will not gain anything, Mawla, if you punish us. Oh Allah, you will not lose anything if you forgive us. Oh Allah, give us that thing that has no gain for you, no loss for you, Mawla, forgive us. Oh Allah, forgive our parents, Mawla. If one of our parents is in the grave, Mawla. If one of our parents is in the grave, if both of our parents is in the grave, Mawla, Rabbi rahmuhuma kama rabbayani saghira. Mawla, Mawla, we're not there to look after them anymore. Mawla, only you can look after them. Have pity on them just as they nurtured us while we were young. Mawla, we can't see them anymore. Oh Allah, we can't see them anymore. Oh Allah, we ask you to look after them in the next life. Oh Allah, the brothers and sisters that are here, that have listened to this, that will listen to this, Mawla, we ask you that you make us of the people of Illiyin after we die. Oh Allah, open the doors of heaven for us, Mawla. Oh Allah, make us of the souls of the Shuhada. Oh Allah, give us the status that our soul will be in green birds, Mawla. Oh Allah, let us be in the next world and let us wake up on the Day of Judgment and next to your Arsh and next to your throne, Mawla. Oh Allah, Mawla, we seek from you. Oh Allah, we seek your refuge. We seek your refuge, Mawla, your protection from the punishment of the grave. Oh Allah, Mawla, we ask you on the Day of Judgment, you give us an easy account. Oh Allah, with all our family members, give our right, in our right hand, give our books. Oh Allah, let us be under your Arsh, under the Day of Judgment. On the Day of Judgment, Mawla, let us cross the bridge without having to touch it. Oh Allah, Allahumma arzuqna al-jannah. Oh Allah, give us Jannah and make us do the actions for Jannah. Save us from Jahannam, from hellfire. Oh Allah, there are people here, Mawla, there are people here amongst us who have missed their salah. Oh Allah, forgive them for missing their salah. Oh Allah, there are people amongst us, Mawla, we have slept in the morning when we should have been praying for your sake. Forgive us, Mawla. Oh Allah, there are people amongst us who have used their tongues in the wrong way, Mawla, forgive us before we reach our graves. Oh Allah, there are people who have gone to the toilets in a way they shouldn't have gone. Oh Allah, they have not kept clean the toilets. Oh Allah, do not punish us in the grave because of that. For your Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said, one of the greatest punishments will be those people who do not stay clean when they come from the toilet. Your greatest punishment in the grave will be those people who do ghibah and who do backbiting. Oh Allah, forgive us for backbiting, Mawla. Forgive us for the treacherous thing we have done, Mawla. Mawla, from this day onwards, we will not miss a prayer, Mawla. From this day onwards, oh Allah, we will try and be as best as we can. From this day onwards, Mawla, we will try and serve you the best we can. Oh Allah, accept this dua of ours. And oh Allah, make it a mercy for all of us here. Oh Allah, do not deprive any one of us here, Mawla. Oh Allah, make us your close servants before we die. And the day we meet you, Mawla, let not there be a single sin on our bodies, Mawla. Oh Allah, let not there be a single sin on our bodies, Mawla. Oh Allah, say to us on that day, Ya ayyatuha nafsul mutmainna. Irji'i ila rabbiki radiyatan mardiyya. Fadukhuli fi ibadi wadukhuli jannati. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka antas samiyul alim. Watub alayna innaka antat tawwabur rahim. ربنا لا تؤاخذنا إن نسينا أو أخطأنا ربنا ولا تحمل علينا إصرا كما حملته على الذين من قبلنا ربنا ولا تحملنا ما لا طاقة لنا به واعف عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا أنت مولانا فانصرنا على القوم الكافرين وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.